The North will rise again, this time on Culture File. Despite various Westminster initiatives, from devolution referenda to levelling up agendas, the identity and the mythos of the North of England are dominated by a sense of decline and even failure. But in his new book, The North Will Rise Again, writer and academic Alex Niven suggests some other ways to think about the place he calls home, ways that acknowledge the regular explosions of culture from the modernist poetry scene of Newcastle in the 1960s to the Republican balladry of the Stone Roses, little fires which offer a less weary vision of the territory and its people. He talked to Culturefile about the distinguishing features of a part of England called the North.
The North does have a coherent, unified sense of self. It's defined by the Industrial Revolution and its aftermath. It's defined by a sense of difference from the centralised establishment culture of England's kind of centering on London and the South East. Often the first question people ask is, you know, where does the North start? I'm not quite sure is the answer. You know, I'd say by the time you get to sort of Sheffield, Liverpool, Manchester, that's definitely the North. And then obviously up to the Scottish border, it's definitely begun by the time you get to Sheffield, Liverpool, Manchester.
I suppose the slightly more interesting question is, when does the North start? You talk in the book, you're describing these sort of two visions of the North, which are kind of happen at different times. And there's the one which is lost now, which is as a sort of hub of invention and innovation and industrial innovation. And then that one, that other one, which we kind of experience more now of post-industrial decline, is kind of like the North exists in time as much as space.
You can't avoid the fact that, yeah, the North is brought into being, really, with the advent of the Industrial Revolution. That's the thing that transforms this backwater, really, in terms of development of various kinds of, you know, infrastructure and culture and the economy and so on. The Industrial Revolution overhauls that and overturns that narrative so that the North of England is really the centre of the world and the cradle of the Industrial Revolution and so on and so forth. You know, the book's focused on the last half century, sort of 50, 60, 70 years. And obviously the narrative of that period is deindustrialization, the removal of industry. We haven't yet found a replacement for that culture and for that economic infrastructure and everything that comes along with it. So then, you know, the contemporary North, unfortunately, is defined by that absence still.
When it happened, we walked through all the estates from Manchester to Newcastle.
So the title, The North Will Rise Again, it's become a slogan, a piece of graffiti in the North, The North Will Rise Again. It derives ultimately from Marquis Smith and a song from quite early on in the career of his band, The Fall. It's it's obviously derives ultimately from a sort of biblical notion of, you know, rising again from the dead. And
there is some suggestion it also relates to kind of Southern secession.
It does, yeah. I mean,
in the United States.
Yeah. I mean, it can get a bit controversial, can't it? Because obviously, you know, I'm not kind of advocating the Confederacy by any means. But yeah, the South Will Rise Again was a Confederate slogan. I mean, I would hope that it's far enough removed from that context, in the context of the North of England, that it's clear that it's not advocating, you know, slavery or anything like that. And indeed, it's obviously it's in a sense a kind of, I think for Marquis Smith, a sort of detournement or reappropriation, positive reappropriation of that slogan.
Rancho Total.
There have been attempts, and I mean, that's one of the things that you're interested in the book, is this sort of attempts in the latter half of the 20th century to kind of recapture the sort of technopolis of the North.
You know, one way of reading the cultural narrative of the post-war period is really an attempt, as deindustrialization is really kicking into gear and starting to accelerate, as the mines are starting to close down and the North's economic infrastructure is collapsing, really. You have various attempts to, as you say, you know, kind of revive industrial culture, particularly in aesthetic and cultural ways. So you have various kind of sci-fi narratives, for example, from Anthony Burgess's Clockwork Orange to Ridley Scott's Blade Runner, you know, taking deindustrializing North as inspiration for these incredibly sort of futuristic and kind of visionary sci-fi works, not necessarily positive ones. In both cases, they're kind of dystopian visions of the future. You know, Ridley Scott's on record, and I, you know, quote Ridley Scott in the book as saying that in some senses, at least the opening of Blade Runner is inspired by his formative years in industrial Teesside and this kind of, in some senses, bleak landscape, but also a landscape that Scott felt was you know, beautiful in his terms, and that he could create something beautiful and visionary out of that industrialized, perhaps already deindustrializing landscape.
As well as the sort of cultural projects of modernization, there was one figure who reappears again and again in your book, which maybe a lot of people wouldn't be familiar with who don't come from the area, T. Dan Smith.
T. Dan Smith attracts my attention and attracts my interest, you know, for starters, that he's a major figure in the cultural history of the Northeast and still looms large over our political and cultural history, particularly in Newcastle, where I live now. He was a council leader in the post-war years in Newcastle at this time when various parts of provincial Britain, as it were, but particularly northern cities, were being empowered by the sort of social democratic culture of the time to act independently and assertively in reviving and asserting northern culture and instituting or trying to institute various revivals of the North. So T. Dan Smith did this very forcefully, or tried to do this very forcefully in Newcastle, built loads of social housing. During his period, as it were, we had, you know, this kind of big modernistic town hall built. We had plans laid down for a kind of metro rail service. So there's a sense that T. Dan is, you know, I talk about him as both a hero and an anti-hero. I think, you know, some of those schemes of the post-war years were quite heroic. I mean, the better known narrative about T. Dan is that he was found guilty of corruption and went to prison for it in the 70s. You know, I don't think there's much doubt that he was guilty of the specific things he was charged of. Nonetheless, they were, you know, relatively minor. And I think there's no doubt that he has become a sort of shorthand for discrediting this kind of left-leaning modernist culture in the North, and a kind of shorthand for why we need to revert to kind of traditionalism and conservatism in the case of architecture and culture more generally. So I wanted to, in some sense, advocate T. Dan's example and, you know, suggest that there's something to be derived from that, and that might provide some sort of inspiration in terms of future revivals of the North.
Alex Niven there, author of The North Will Rise Again, and we'll have more from that conversation next time on Culture File.